Very pleasant good morning to you. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. Hope you'll open your Bibles with us. If you'd like to place your marker at Hebrews chapter 2, we'll be reading there in just a moment. I want to speak this morning about the subject of neglect. The word neglect in English has three definitions. It means to ignore, it means to fail to attend to properly, and it means to leave undone. Our English word comes from the Latin for, it comes from the Latin for not gather. As if the farmer planted the crop, nursed the crop, and did not gather the crop. He neglected the harvest. Neglect is a serious problem. If we neglect to maintain our house, it will soon become embarrassing and unlivable. If we neglect to care for an animal, it will likely die. If we neglect our marriage, it will fail. We all understand these things, and yet many people neglect spiritual things. So read in the text with me in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, "For this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received the just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own good will." My lesson this morning is based on verse 3. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The needed blessing for all man is salvation. We need salvation because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. We need salvation because Romans 3 and 10 says there is none righteous, not even one. Hebrews 2 and verse 9 emphasizes this, saying that we see Him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. The salvation being referred to in these passages is from God. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." Even in John chapter 10, Jesus affirms this. Beginning in verse 27 of John 10, He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand." We cannot earn our salvation. It's only because God desires to save us that any of us can be saved. God gives us the choice to be obedient or not. Now look at the text again in Hebrews 2 and verse 3. It is so great a salvation. That's a strong wording in this place. We can be saved from eternal destruction, an eternity in hell. A deserving death for those who disobey the living God. God's salvation gives us victory over death and over Satan. God's salvation is offered to all men. Those who accept His offer in obedience are then called the children of God. But the common danger for all of us is neglect. So, verse 1, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. In this passage, drifting is sharply contrasted with paying much closer attention. Which side of that equation are you falling on? Which side am I falling on? This is speaking about our attitude and our effort. Falling from truth and goodness is often the result of inattention more than of intent. We're not planning to fall away or to drift or to leave God, but that happens because we don't give attention. To drift away from what we have heard is the danger for many and for all of us, actually. Can you imagine figuratively drifting past the salvation of God that's right there? Because I just didn't pay attention and whoops, it's past me and the current's got me now. I can't go back. And that really happens. We grow complacent. We grow satisfied with our own spiritual knowledge and spiritual growth. So we stop learning. We stop growing and we drift away from lack of use, lack of effort, lack of concern. Keep your marker there in Hebrews, but let's turn for a minute to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 4, Jesus is in the midst of a parable about the marriage feast. But in verse 4, he says, again, he sent out other slaves saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner and my oxen and my fatted livestock are all butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way. Now this phrase translated paid no attention in the New American Standard, in the King James is translated made light of. And that's what many in the world are doing today with the Word of God. To say, I know what the Bible says, but I just believe something different, is to make light of the Word of God, to pay no attention to it. Many knowingly disregard the teaching of the Bible and neglect the salvation of God, to place more emphasis on the creed of men than the Word of God is clearly to make light of Scripture. But salvation is not a light matter. It is a very sober, serious matter that we must give attention to. Many want to shrug off righteous thinking and consider serving God a trivial matter. That's to neglect God's salvation, which will cost us our soul. Many scoff at the attitudes of parents and grandparents that would take the Word of God so seriously they paid no attention to the invitation of God. And when we as Christians are tempted and we knowingly choose to commit sin, we make light of the Word of God, which we have heard. Now, an easy application for us to see. God tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, Hebrews 10 and 25. Yet some Christians choose to stay home for family time or sports on TV or more sleep. Some choose to forsake the assembling to attend a function in the world. Maybe their kids are involved in something or there's a seminar they want to attend for business or there's a concert in town. When the opportunity is presented for the Christian to pursue godliness or pursue something in the world, and we choose the world, we're forsaking God. We're making light of our salvation, and we're paying no attention to the salvation that God has accomplished for us. We're not taking Scripture seriously when it says not to forsake, not to abandon the assembling of ourselves together. We don't take seriously when Scripture says, everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10 and verse 32. Now to me, that's an easy application of these things that we're talking about. But now I want to talk about some applications that make us uncomfortable. This is when the preacher makes you squirm in your seat a little bit, right? We do not take Scripture seriously when it says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. Isn't that how we want everybody to treat us? But we neglect to put these attributes on in our own life. And we make light of Luke 6 and 31, where Jesus said, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. We pay no attention to Galatians 5 and 22 that lists the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. We have to make these applications. A second uncomfortable application. Some Christians do not hear or even pay close attention to what they've heard. 1 Timothy 4 and 13. Paul tells Timothy to give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Yes, these are instructions to the evangelist. But you know, the hearer also has to pay close attention to the reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. And some in the Lord's church take no notice of things taught or read during the assembling of ourselves together. Their minds wander to many subjects so that they can't even tell you what the general topic of the sermon might have been or what was that Bible reading about. Some take no notice of what they're singing. Some take no notice of the prayer to which they said amen. The reality is these are not paying close attention to what they've heard, and they're going to drift away from it. They ignore the teaching of James 1 that we're supposed to look into the mirror of the Word of God as in examining ourselves. They fail to compare their life to God's standard, and some live upon the assumption that they are right, and they believe that to be the truth. How does a person drift away from God? Stop paying attention to what you've heard. That's the truth in Hebrews 2. And for many, this will be the even more uncomfortable application. One of the areas most often neglected by Christians, in my estimation, is personal righteousness in the home. God commands our personal righteousness. 1 Timothy 6 has teachings about not being, teachings that we should be content and not have a love for money. And we're told to flee from these things, you man of God, in verse 11 of chapter 6, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, gentleness. Again, that's 1 Timothy 6 and 11. Are you hearing it? The first things listed here is righteousness. And that's where I'm going to camp for a few minutes. That word means to be right and to do right. We're doing the things God says that are right. Yet many people, and I'm referring to Christians, go into their house, they shut their front door, and they behave unrighteously. They speak like the world. They allow anger to dominate their character. They've not developed self-control. Some want to view or read things that are sinful and which promote sinful thoughts and actions. There's not a purity of mind. They don't behave in love toward their spouse or their children or their parents. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22 similarly says, flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Is that the way it is in our heart? Is that the way it is in my home? Many marriages struggle because one or both of the couple behave unrighteously in the home. And I'm speaking of Christian homes. Someone wants to drink or take drugs. Someone wants to be cruel and hateful and domineering and unhelpful and many more. If the common behavior is arguments and yelling and accusations and demands, I would argue righteousness is not being pursued. Sometimes one spouse is righteous and is trying to help the other be righteous, but they don't want to pay close attention to what they've heard. They've already drifted, and they're behaving unrighteously. If this describes you and or your home, I urge you to wake up and pay closer attention to what you have heard. Husbands, Ephesians 5 and 25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. And 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 says, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. Wives, Ephesians 5 and verse 33 says the wife must see to it that she respect her husband. And 1 Peter 3 and verse 1 says, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Children, Ephesians 6 and verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 says, to remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. And fathers, Ephesians 6 and verse 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, while part of the old law, still gives us the example. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6 says, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Do we hear it? No matter what someone else in the home is doing, I will behave righteously. I will pursue righteousness in my heart, in my mouth, in my behavior. If the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? My third point for the lesson. Neglecting God's salvation is always a result of inaction. Let's turn to another familiar passage. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look with me at verse 5, beginning. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Clearly in this passage, we're supposed to apply all diligence in our service to God, in our own pursuit of righteousness. We must supply these things in our life that are in this passage. This is not optional. Yet the passage says some will lack these qualities in verse 9. But that person's blind, short-sighted, forgotten their purification from former sins. I think this is a parallel passage to Hebrews 2:3. They've neglected so great a salvation. Some will fail to increase in these qualities. Some will not be diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. That's about God's salvation of me. My lack of diligence to practice these things will cause me to stumble. Do you believe what you hear? I must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that I do not drift from it. To know and understand the scriptural teaching on brotherly love and who is our neighbor and then do nothing in those areas, that's neglecting our own salvation. We become like the Levite who wanted to pass by on the other side of the road. Just a few pages back in my Bible, in 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 20, the Apostle John, by inspiration, writes, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also." So love for my brother and my diligence in being righteous before God, that's going to cause me to pay attention to what I've heard, that I not drift from it. I'm going to be diligent to act in righteousness toward brethren and even toward the Christian who is struggling and spiritually weak and even the one who's in sin, because I love them. To do nothing in action, that's to neglect the commands of God, and then I must admit to myself I have drifted away from God's salvation. Anytime we leave off or fail to obey a command of God, we've neglected so great a salvation. We've thought light of it. We've put our soul in jeopardy. And we can't allow omission of responsibilities and commands. We can't allow that to happen in our life. Sometimes we allow omission. We allow inaction in ourself because of procrastination. Do we really think God's going to accept us saying, "Well, I was just too busy"? I don't think that's ever going to work. It's never worked with any boss that I had in the world. Did it for you? Here's a good self-examination exercise. Make a list of all the things that you have put more important than God's salvation, and then make a list of how you plan to more diligently do those things. Make a plan for how you're going to change. That's going to cause you to think about yourself a whole lot. None of us know how much time remains in our life, so we can't delay serving God. Now is the time He's given us. Sometimes our inaction is a result of forgetting. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses speaks to the second generation of Israelites who came up out of Egypt. And they were at the end of the wilderness wanderings. They had seen all of their parents' generation die in the wilderness because of their disobedience, refusal to go into the land of Canaan. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9, Moses tells them, "Give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and grandsons." Can you believe they could forget the miraculous things they saw that God did for them in the 40 years of the wilderness wanderings, the provisions of food and water and clothes and sandals that never wore out? But that's what it says they could do. They could forget. God has given us so great a salvation. And our failure to give heed and keep our soul diligently will lead to our forgetting. It will not be in our mind anymore. If you still got your marker over in Hebrews, let's flip back over to Hebrews chapter 6. And in verse 10. Hebrews 6 and verse 10 says, "God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, and having ministered and is still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Can you see in this passage the implication that the one who is sluggish will not inherit the promises? And that's what happened to the first generation of the Israelites who came out of Egypt. They died in the wilderness because they refused to enter Canaan. We also can be guilty of forgetting God. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 this time, Moses is teaching the Israelites, this second generation. And he says in verse 10 of chapter 6, "It shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. Then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name." Oh, you mean when we get content and satisfied? Yeah. That's when we forget. We must not forget to fear the Lord. We must not forget to serve the Lord. And when we leave off these things by inaction or omission, we will quickly forget God and the great salvation offered. That's the warning of Moses. Beware. "For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." 2 Peter 1 and verse 9. Finally then, from Hebrews 2 and verse 3 again. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Escape what? The condemnation of God. Hell for eternity, side by side with the devil and his angels, and all the worst of humanity from all generations. Brethren, there are consequences for neglect. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is telling the parable of the 10 virgins who were waiting for the return of the bridegroom. 5 had prepared with extra oil for their lamps, and 5 were called foolish because they did not bring enough oil. And the conclusion is what I want us to hear. It's in Matthew chapter 25, and beginning in verse 10. It says, "And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up for us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you.' Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." So those who had neglected the greatness of what was offered at this wedding feast, they were not allowed to enter. We must remain those who are alert, examining ourselves in comparison from what we have heard from the Word of God. Jesus makes an application to those who are inactive and neglectful. It's at the end of Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 41. "He will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.'" You see, they just didn't do anything. Verse 44, Then they themselves will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, did not take care of you?" And then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you do not do it to one of the least of these, you do not do it to me." These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Do you hear what Jesus is saying here? If I'm inactive, not doing anything, I'm not righteous. How do we escape the condemnation? It is by doing the opposite of neglect. And we've already read about it in several passages. I have to be diligent. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. "Be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble." 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. "Be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless." Hebrews 11 and in verse 6 says, "We must believe that God is the rewarder of those who seek him." I'm doing something. I'm seeking him. Let's read one more passage together. Look at Romans chapter 12 as we bring the lesson to a close. Romans 12, and begin reading with me in verse 6. Romans 12 and verse 6. "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the portion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." We can escape the corruption that's in the world by avoiding neglecting so great a salvation. Neglect is a danger that I think all of us need to guard against, because God's salvation is so great And there's not going to be any hope if I neglect it. So are we diligent in our service, or have we been neglectful? Are we growing in our faith, or are we trying to remain or maintain where I'm at? Are we diligently looking at our life to see how can I serve God better? If there is an attitude of neglect, we need to repent. We need to seek God's forgiveness. And we've got to live differently. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, how will you escape if you neglect the great salvation that God offers you? Salvation is through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says in John 14:6, no one comes to the Father but through me. He's commanded that we believe he is the Son of God, that we repent of our sin, that we confess him before men, and that we be baptized for the forgiveness of our sin. I can't be given the home in heaven and neglect to obey the commands of God. It won't happen. These are things we must do. What will you do with Jesus today? Will you accept him or neglect him? I urge you to give diligence to the things which have been said, the things which you have heard from the Word of God. Give diligence to that great salvation. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come forward now. Let's stand and sing to encourage you.